Good Morning, Bill, by P.G. Woodhouse, with Martin Jarvis as Bill Paradine and Alexandra Bastido as Sally Smith. The scene is Bill Paradine's suite in the Esplanade Hotel, Marvis Beach, Sussex.
Yes, madam.
Are you deaf, you poor fish? Somebody at the door.
Very good, madam.
Lovely!
It is Lord Tidmouth, madam.
Who the dickens is Lord Tidmouth?
Hello! What ho? I'm a friend of Bill Paradine's.
Oh! I'll be out in a minute.
Right ho!
I say, what is that in there?
That is madam, your lordship.
I shan't be long now.
Right ho!
Have a sandwich.
I am.
You what?
A sandwich. Sardine, or my senses deceive me. Yes, absolutely sardine. You know, I read an interesting thing in a paper the other day. It said the sardine's worst enemy was the halibut. And I give you my word, until I'd read it, I didn't know the sardine had an enemy. And I don't mind telling you, my opinion of the halibut has gone down considerably. Fancy anything wanting to bully a sardine.
Here I am at last.
Holy smoke! I mean, hello.
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 That's what I said. Take a chair or a sofa or something.
Thanks.
Bill ought to be looking in any minute. He's taking me out to dance. Sorry to keep you so long. I was shaving.
Shaving?
My neck, you silly ass. So, you're a friend of Bill's?
Yes. I haven't seen him for 10 years, though.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yes. Well, I just looked in to return his umbrella.
His umbrella?
Well, he lent it to me 10 years ago. I was at his flat one afternoon, and it was raining. And I was in a great hurry to get away, because I wanted to go and have a row with my fiancé. So, I borrowed Bill's umbrella.
I see. And did you have a row with your fiancé?
Oh, rather.
Who won?
She did. She married me. And it was only when we were halfway through the honeymoon that I found I'd taken Bill's umbrella along. We went to live in Paris, and she ran away with a Frenchman.
Did you get a divorce?
Yes, and married again. And on the honeymoon, I noticed Bill's umbrella among the luggage. And my second wife ran away with a Spaniard.
Too bad.
When I married my third wife, we spent the honeymoon at La Touque. It rained the whole time, but of course, I had the umbrella.
And who did your third wife run away with?
A Brazilian.
Your home during the last 10 years seems to have been a sort of meeting place of the nations.
Yes. So I've come to bring the umbrella back. I don't think the damn thing's lucky. Have you... Sorry.
Go on, shoot.
Well, I was only going to say, have you been reading anything lately?
Oh, yes. I just read the funniest book.
Who by?
Oh, that awfully funny man who writes things. I never can remember his name.
But what's it called?
Oh, some awfully funny title. I can't think of it for the moment.
What's it about?
I can't remember. But I think his books are awfully good, don't you?
Whose?
The man whose name I've forgotten.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. do you think old Bill's, you know, going to be long?
I couldn't say. Why am I boring you?
Oh, no, no. But I'm afraid I'm not sort of frightfully good at conversation.
Then let's dance!
That's an idea. Music and everything.
Oh, I love that tune.
Oh, yes. It's topping, isn't it?
Good afternoon.
Hear you come in.
So I imagined. Take off those pyjamas.
No, I say, my dear old chap, gentleman present.
How many times have I told you not to run round the place in pyjamas? Go and get dressed.
This gentleman...
I'll attend to him.
Oh, all right.
Now then, who are you? And what do you mean by it?
Bill, old man. Have you really forgotten me?
Eh?
Your ancient pal. Name of Tidmouth.
What? For heaven's sake.
Squiffy. That's me.
Well, well, well.
Oh, Squiffy.
Yes. I never recognized you. Last time I saw you were going off to meet your fiancé. Did you ever get married?
Did I ever get married? Oh, and that reminds me, Bill, old man. How do you feel on the subject of rocking horses?
What on earth are you talking about?
Well, you see, tomorrow is my first wife's second son's third birthday.
How many wives have you got?
Well, none at the moment. The supply sort of petered out. But my first wife's second son has his third birthday next week, and I just bought him a rocking horse. I told the man at the shop to send it round here until my train went. You don't mind?
Of course not.
Oh, thanks. Well, tell me all about yourself, Bill. You're looking very fit. You still got that, place of yours in the country, Woolham, what was his name?
Woolham Chersey, yes. Yeah, you come and stay there.
Well, I'd love to, Bill, old man, but the fact is, what with my domestic troubles and so forth, I'm a more or less bit of a broken man these days and don't quite feel up to country house parties.
Oh, it won't be a country house party, just you and me and my uncle.
But which uncle is that?
Well, I've only one, Sir Hugo Drake, the nerve specialist.
Yeah, I'd never met him. Nice chap?
Oh, not so bad. He'd be all right if he could get into his head that I'm a grown-up man and not still a kid in knickerbockers.
Yeah.
He will fuss over me like a hen. It drives me crazy. It won't worry you. What are you doing about 2 weeks from now?
Oh, nothing in particular, just beetling around.
Well, I'll expect you then.
Oh, righto. Thanks. Yes. I say, hello, man.
Hello.
Well, touching on that little contretemps, if I may so express it, which occurred just now, I should just
Oh, don't apologise.
Well, carried away, don't you know, what with the music and the sardine sandwiches.
It's quite all right. Best thing that could have happened. It gives me an excuse for getting out of an entanglement which has been on my nerves for weeks. Yeah. Squiffy, old man, have you ever felt a sort of strange emptiness in the heart? A sort of aching void in the soul?
Oh, rather.
What do you do about it?
Well, I generally take a couple of cocktails.
Oh, cocktails aren't any good. And nothing's any good. I've read books, gone in for sport, tried work, no use whatever.
Well, what sort of work?
Stock farming. And what's the result? I have a farm full of pigs and an empty heart.
What you want is a tonic.
No. I know what I want, Squiffy. I want love.
Oh, don't you believe it. Love? Listen, old boy, the amount of love that I've had in the last 10 years, if placed end to end, would reach from London to Paris. And look at me.
Ah, but I've found the right woman.
You mean...
Oh, no, no. The girl I mean is everything that Lottie is not.
Well, who is she?
I don't know.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Well, where does she live?
I don't know.
Well, you're not exactly an encyclopedia, old boy, are you?
I saw her out there on the links last week. I've seen her several times since then. Oh, she's a poem, Squiffy. All health and fresh air and wholesomeness.
Ever spoken to her?
Oh, no. I hadn't the nerve. She's so far above me.
Tall girl, eh?
Spiritually, you ass.
Oh, I see.
She's like a breath of clean wind, Squiffy.
Who, me?
No.
How do you like this dress?
What dress?
I'm ready to go dancing.
Well, I don't want to go dancing.
But you said you would.
Now, I made up my mind to stay in.
But I've made up my face to go out.
In any case, I wouldn't take you out looking like that. You've got nothing on.
Naturally. You told me to go and get dressed.
Look here, Rotty. I may as well tell you straight out. I am never going to dance with you again.
Sprained your ankle or something?
No, I'm going home.
Indeed.
Well, I've got to go home sometime, haven't I? There's the estate to look after, and, well, that's all there is to it. I think it's time I went home.
And 1,000 pigs are pining for him.
What's the matter with taking me along?
I don't think you'd quite be in the picture.
I'm not fit to associate with your beastly vicars and farmers and ploughboys, eh?
No, I never say that. I only meant that, well, you wouldn't mix in well with the life of a small village. Oh, good heavens, there's nothing offensive about that. Be reasonable. Lots of the world's most wonderful women would be out of place in a sleepy little spot like Woolham, Jersey. Queen Elizabeth, Catherine the Great, Cleopatra, dozens of them.
No, right, no, tell boy, stick to it.
Besides, if I can't go out for a couple of minutes without coming back and finding you kissing...
Oh, so that's the trouble. You know as well as I do this man means nothing to me. I look upon him just like some low, creeping thing.
It's awfully nice of you to put it like that. That's exactly what my second wife said to me in the summer of 21. The very words.
Oh, you know perfectly well there's no need for you to be jealous.
I'm not jealous.
Oh, aren't you? And why aren't you, may I ask? I see it all now. There's somebody else.
There isn't.
Yes, there is. There is, there is. I know perfectly well there's another woman stealing you from me. Who is she? What's her name? Tell me her name. Who is she?
I say, have you any Spanish blood in you?
Now, Lottie, listen.
I won't listen.
My second wife was half Spanish, and how well I remember.
Shut up!
Oh, rather. I merely spoke.
So you want to get rid of me, do you? You want to throw me aside like a...
Worn-out glove.
Like a worn-out glove. You think you're going to discard me like a...
old tube of toothpaste.
Shut up.
Oh, rather.
Let me tell you, you're mistaken if you think you can get rid of me so easily.
Lottie, please.
Lottie, please.
Lottie, please. Lottie, please. Lottie, please. If you want a row, you shall have it. There!
Ow! Did you ring, sir?
And there!
Did you call a modem?
And there!
Lottie, will you pull yourself together?
Cuts cost money, what?
Stop it! Stop it!
I won't! Let me go! Let me go!
She's fainted.
Water.
Vinegar.
On the clothes.
Pepper.
Give her air.
Slap her head.
Sit on her head. Will you be quiet? Now then, go for a doctor.
Yes, sir.
Take her into the bedroom, lay her on the bed, undress her.
Me?
No, not you.
Poor lamb. Oh, it's a shame.
What are you hanging about for?
Well, honestly, old chap, I don't quite know. Just sort of lending sympathy and moral support, as it were.
Get a doctor.
Yeah, but the boy's getting one.
Well, get another. Get a dozen.
Well, look, I know just how you feel, old boy. In the winter of 23, a very similar situation arose when I told my second wife that her new hat looked like nothing on earth.
Oh, get out!
Absolutely.
Marie.
Sir?
Oh, how is she?
Still unconscious, sir. And I don't like her breathing. If you ask me, it's stortorous.
Stortorous?
Sort of puffy. Like this.
Marie.
Sir.
When I want any farmyard imitations from you, I shall ask for them.
Very good, sir.
Oh. The doctor, sir.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Ask him to come in.
This way, please.
It can't be.
I don't quite understand.
I mean to say... that is to say, I mean, what I mean is... I've seen you out on the golf links.
Yes, I play a good deal when I have time.
Yes. I saw you there, out on the links. I saw you several times, out on the links. You were out on the links and I saw you.
I was told that someone here wanted a doctor.
Yes, but I mean,
if you're the patient, I should diagnose you as a bad case of aphasia.
You don't mean to say, you aren't a doctor?
Certainly. Smith is my name. Dr. Sally Smith.
Good heavens.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing.
You said good heavens, and I don't like people saying good heavens to me.
Well, I only said good heavens.
Yes, in the voice a small boy would use if he were being introduced to a Barnum and Bailey freak.
I'm sorry.
Fine. Now everything's all right. You'll excuse me for biting your head off, won't you? I always have to start an interview with a new male client by sitting on him hard.
Oh.
The male mind doesn't seem to be able to grasp immediately and without assistance the fact that a woman doctor needn't be a gargoyle with steel-rimmed spectacles and wash-leather complexion. Would you mind telling me who you are?
My name is Paradine. William Paradine.
Thank you. Now, where is the patient?
Just a moment. If you wouldn't mind sitting down.
Why?
She can't see a doctor now.
Why not?
She isn't well.
So she can't see a doctor? My dear good man, are you always like this, or is this one of your bad days?
Well, I know I'm a fool.
Ah, a lucid moment.
But it's the shock of seeing you walk in like this.
Well, why shouldn't I walk in? You sent for me.
Yes, but you don't understand. I've seen you out on the links.
So you said before.
You see, Mrs...
Miss.
Oh, thank God.
I beg your pardon.
Nothing. That is to say, or putting it rather differently...
Does your keeper share this suite, or is he in another part of the hotel?
Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter? There seems to be something on your mind, such as it is. What's troubling you?
Well, you take my breath away.
For shortness of breath, try jujube. And now, please, my patient.
Oh, yes. Do you mind excusing me for a moment? Marie?
Yes, sir?
How is she?
Asleep, sir.
Oh, fine. Well, see that she doesn't wake up. The maid says the patient has fallen asleep.
Quite natural. Sleep often follows violent hysteria.
Well, how do you know it was hysteria?
By the broken china. Long-distance diagnosis.
Ah.
Well, let her have her sleep out.
Yes, I will.
And will you please stop looking at me like that?
I'm not looking at you like that. I'm not trying to.
Oh, automatic. Very interesting. Unconscious reaction of the facial and labial muscles at sight of a pretty woman.
I wish you'd stop treating me as if I was something under a microscope.
Well, I'm glad I have my vascular motors under control.
You're what, did you say?
Oh, of course, you're a layman. By vascular motors, we mean the nerves that regulate the flushing and paling of the skin. I can control them. So whatever the provocation, I never either blush or turn pale. I keep my decent, ordinary, healthy colour.
It's a beautiful colour. It's amazing that you have such a complexion.
Indeed, why?
Well, working as hard as you do...
You seem to have entirely the wrong conception of me. You appear to look on me as a poor, faded laboratory plant, spending a life of drudgery between books and invalids. I'm as fit as a fiddle, thank heaven, and enjoy every minute of my life. I have a good practice and quite enough money. I go to theatres and concerts. I play games. I spend my holidays travelling. I love my work. I love my recreations. I love life.
You're wonderful.
And why shouldn't I? Who has a better right to everything there is in life than I? I enjoy pleasure and earn every bit of pleasure that I enjoy. And it's because I earn it that I enjoy it. I love jolly suppers because I pay for them myself. Nice clothes, nice shoes, silk stockings because I buy them myself. I'm like the village blacksmith. I owe not any man. I wonder if you've the remotest idea how happy it can make a woman feel just to be a worker and alive with good nerves, good circulation and good muscles. Feel my arm, like iron.
Is it wonderful?
And my legs. Hard as rock. Prod them.
Oh, no, really.
Oh, go on. You're blushing.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm afraid my vascular motors aren't as well controlled as yours.
Can't you admire a well-rounded, highly perfected leg in a purely detached spirit as a noble work of nature?
Oh, no, I'm afraid I've never quite managed to do that.
Why? In some countries, the women go bathing with nothing on.
And the men buy telescopes.
Don't snigger.
Forgive me. Forgive me. I laugh like Figaro, that I may not weep.
What do you want to weep about?
Well, I'm feeling a little depressed. In the life that you've outlined, this hard, tense, independent, self-sufficing life with its good nerves and good circulations and muscles of the brawny arm as strong as iron bands, don't you think there's something just a little bleak?
Bleak?
Well, frankly...
Always be frank.
Well, frankly, then, it reminds me of the sort of nightmare H.G. Wells would have after cold pork. It seems to leave out the one thing that makes life worth living.
You mean love?
Exactly. Oh, I grant you 100% on nerves and circulation and general fitness.
I admire your biceps. I'm sure your leg muscle is all it should be, and I take my hat off to your vascular motors, but doesn't it strike you... Well, it's the merest suggestion that you're just a trifle lacking in sentiment.
Nothing of the kind. All I'm lacking in is sentimentality. I don't droop and blush and giggle.
No, I noticed that.
But naturally I don't intend to exclude love from my life. I'm not such a fool.
Ah.
Why do you say ah?
Listen, you're the loveliest girl I ever met, but you've got to stop bullying me. I shall say ah just as often as I please.
I merely ask because most people, when they stand in front of me and say ah, expect me to examine their throats.
Ah.
Are you hinting that you've fallen in love with me?
Yes.
Never hint. Always say just what you mean. I hate people who beat about the bush.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was trying to break it gently.
It's not such a shock as all that.
You mean...
I don't mean anything. Except that your symptoms aren't so unique as you seem to imagine.
But you've heard them before, from a patient...
Dozens of times.
Oh, I might have known it, just my luck. And I suppose...
No, you're wrong.
You mean there's nobody else?
Nobody.
Then, do you think... Do you suppose... might it happen... would it be... Or, putting it another way, is it possible...
Crisper, crisper and simpler. What you're trying to suggest now is that perhaps I might one day love you. Am I right?
You take the words out of my mouth.
Well, I had to, or they would never have emerged at all. Well, if ever I love a man, I shall inform him of the facts simply and naturally, as if I were saying good morning.
Tell me, have you often wished a man good morning?
No, that experience has yet to come.
Oh, wonderful!
And not so very wonderful. It simply means that I haven't met the right man.
Oh, yes, you have. You have. You don't know yet, but you have. Oh, I feel as if a great weight had rolled off me. I'd always hoped that women like you existed. Now it's all come true. No, don't laugh at me. Please. It's come upon me like a whirlwind. I never expected it. I never guessed. I never...
Sir...
Well, what is it?
If you please, sir. She's awake now.
Awake? What on earth are you talking about? Who's awake?
Why, Modim, sir.
Modim?
I think you had forgotten our patient, hadn't you?
Hmm? Oh, yes, but...
Ask her to come in, please. I'll examine her at once.
I'm coming, Doctor. Sorry to have kept you waiting. Oh. And who may this be?
Don't be absurd. I'm the doctor.
You think I'm going to swallow that?
Can you read?
Of course I can read.
Then read that.
Dr. Sally Smith. Well, I suppose it's all right. Still, it looks funny to me. And let me tell you that if there is any hanky-panky business going on between you two, I'll very soon...
Quiet, please.
Hey?
I wish to make an examination.
Well, perhaps I'd better leave you.
Just as you like.
Yes, I'll go for a stroll, on the front.
All right, I shan't be long.
You'll forgive me, I'm sure, Doctor. Isn't that too silly of me? I've forgotten your damn name.
Quite a simple one to remember. Smith.
Oh, thank you. I was saying, Doctor, really...
Take off the bathrobe and breathe.
Hey? Oh, all right. Let me see, where was I? Oh, yes, what started it all was him saying to me, as cool as a cucumber, that he wasn't ever going to take me dancing again. Oh, I said to him, and why not, if I may ask, I said. Well, he said to me, I'm going home, he said. Going home, I said. Yes, he said. So naturally, I said, I know what the trouble with you is, I said. You want to cast me off like a worn-out glove, I said. But if you think, I said, that for one moment I'm going to stand for anything like that, I said, you're mistaken, I said. You see, it's not as if I were just an ordinary girl. A palmist once told me that I was full of fineness and individuality and sensitiveness, and what I do say is I have a right to a little bit of consideration.
The lungs appear sound. Take another deep breath. Well, the heart's all right. Now for the reflexes. Cross your legs. Nothing the matter with them. All right, that's all.
Examination over?
Yes.
What's wrong with me?
Nothing much. You need a rest.
Aren't you going to look at my tongue?
I can tell without looking at it that needs a rest too. What you want is a few weeks in a nice quiet sanatorium.
You're going to send me to a sanatorium?
Yes. You'll get cold baths and plain food and no cigarettes and no cocktails.
I believe it's a trick.
A trick?
I believe you're just trying to get me out of the way so that you can have him to yourself.
Him? You can't mean... Do you really imagine for one moment that I'm in love with Mr. Paradine?
You aren't.
Of course I'm not.
Well, it still looks funny to me.
I say, I've snaffled a medicine man. Hello.
I've already examined the patient. My name is Dr. Smith.
I'm Lord Tidmouth. I say, this is rather awkward. Old Bill told me to get a doctor, and I grabbed one in the lobby.
I'm afraid there's nothing for him to do here.
Yeah, but he's apt to be a bit shirty, isn't he, if he finds I've lugged him up here for nothing. He wasn't any too pleased at having to come at all. He was on his way to the links.
Oh, well, as you've called him in, we can have a consultation if he likes. Where is he?
Navigating the stairs. Stout old boy, but not very quick on his pins. This way, Doc. There you are.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Afternoon. Are you the patient?
No, I'm afraid I'm a doctor myself. There seems to have been a little misunderstanding.
You mean no need for me to come at all?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Drake, Hugo Drake.
Not Sir Hugo Drake, the great specialist. This is a proud moment for a mere general practitioner, Sir Hugo.
Oh, nice of you to say so.
I'm Dr. Smith.
Oh, yes, heard of you. You're at St. Luke's.
Fancy your knowing.
I'll say you're thoroughly capable. No need for me, then. Patient in excellent hands.
It would be a great honour and privilege, Sir Hugo, if you would consent to a consultation.
Consultation? All right, if you wish it. Can't take long, though. Most important appointment. This young lady, the patient?
Yes, sir.
Well, step into the bedroom, young lady, while we go into your case.
She says I've got to go into a sanatorium.
Subject to Sir Hugo's opinion.
Oh, we'll thrash the whole thing out, never fear. We'll go into your case minutely. Run along, my dear.
Well, I ought to be all right between the two of you.
Eh, well, then I'll leave you to it, what? I've often wondered what you doctors talk about when you hold consultations. A lot of deep stuff, I expect.
Nothing the matter with her, I suppose.
Nothing but a little nerves.
I imagine, from the way that young fellow snatched me up and carried me off, that it was a matter of life and death. Silly idiot. Now I shall be late for my golf match.
What a shame, Sir Hugo. You don't get much time for girls either, I suppose.
Oh, very little, very little. Just ran down here for the weekend. You play?
Oh, yes.
Ah, what's your handicap?
6.
Good God, I'm 24. How do you manage it?
Oh, I keep my head down, keep my eye on the ball, and don't press.
Yes, yes, I'm not so bad off the tee. It's the short chip shots that bother me.
Shanking?
No, topping, principally.
I believe I could put you right.
Oh, you could.
How are you getting on?
Kindly leave us alone, young man. We're at a very difficult point in the diagnosis.
Right-ho. Hip, hip.
Now, you were saying, Doctor?
So much depends on the right grip. Do you use the Varden?
Well, I used to, but lately I've gone back to the double V.
Well, the great thing is not to grip too tight.
Really? Well, I suppose the tighter you grip, the more force you get into the shot.
You don't want force for a chip. It's all direction. Look, let me show you with this umbrella. Grip firmly but lightly. Get behind me and hold it with me.
Yes, how right you are. Firmly but lightly.
The hands should be kept low and above all should finish low. Yes. So many people finish their iron shots with their hands up as if they were driving.
Yes, I see. Talking of driving, it may interest you to hear of a little experience I had the other day.
A similar thing happened to me.
There was a ball lying...
My caddy said you're out of bounds. Oh, would you believe it? What do you think I found?
What do you think I did? I slipped out of...
Have you two finished yet?
Quite. We were just about to call you. We examined your case from every angle.
And Sir Hugo agrees with me.
Exactly, that your trouble...
is a slight matter of nerves.
Nothing of any consequence, though disagreeable.
And you must be kept in a sanatorium.
Firmly but lightly. Just so.
I can recommend this one. It's only a short distance from here.
Oh, all right. I'm not particular.
Lord Tidmouth.
Hello. Consultation over?
Yes. Sir Hugo agrees with me that the patient should go to a sanatorium. Is Mr. Paradine outside?
Mr. Paradine?
No, he's not there. He's probably on the front somewhere.
I don't want him. I've nothing to say to Mr. Paradine. Even if he was here, I wouldn't so much as say goodbye to him. You'll escort me to this loony bin they're pushing me off to, won't you?
Oh, charmed.
It started to rain. You'd better take your umbrella.
It's not mine. It belongs to old Bill.
Well, I'm sure he won't mind, so long as you don't lose it.
Lose it? Lose this umbrella, dear lady, not in a lifetime. Well, toodaloo, everybody.
Yes, bye.
Curious.
I beg your pardon, Sir Hugo?
Paradine. Unusual name.
Not so unusual.
Ah, but the two names in conjunction. Bill Paradine. I have a nephew, William Paradine.
Really?
Yes, his poor mother was my sister. And since her death, I've regarded myself in loco parentis to the boy. Oh, causes me a great deal of anxiety. Seems incredible he could be staying here under his own name with the... Just show me that grip once more, will you?
Oh, certainly. But Lord Tidmer seems to have taken away our mashy niblick.
What? Oh, yes, so he has. Well, just a moment. I've got one here. Well, there. Now, use this, hmm?
All right. Yeah. Now give me your hands. Yeah. That's right, like we did before. Uh-huh. Not so much over or you'll hook.
Oh.
Is the examination finished?
Oh,
William.
Good Lord, Uncle Hugo.
Oh, so this is where you've been all these weeks. William, I am inexpressibly shocked. A boy of your age dancing attendance on a young woman of flashy appearance.
Uncle, please.
Boys will be boys, Sir Hugo.
Oh, not while I'm in loco parentis to them, they won't. Good God, is that the time? I must fly. I'll remember what you told me about that grip.
I'm sure you'll find it will help you.
Firmly but lightly. The idea. Firmly but lightly. I'm surprised at you, Bill. Firmly but lightly. Oh, outrageous behaviour.
How on earth did he get here?
Lord Tidmouth found him in the lobby and dragged him up. Poor Mr. Paradine, you don't have much luck with your medical advisers, do you?
never mind him. Has Lottie gone?
Yes, to a sanatorium.
Oh, what a relief. I feel like a new man.
April weather, fresh air.
Yes, jolly stuff, fresh air, isn't it? Smells so much better than perfume.
Oh, Sally, you're like the fresh air yourself. Oh, and like the sunshine and the clean feel of the breeze coming up off the sea.
If you're leaving, don't forget to give me your address.
You want to write to me?
No, I just want to know where to send my bill.
Oh, good heavens.
What's the matter?
Well, it's enough to drive a man mad. Whenever I say anything with any sentiment in it, you immediately become the doctor.
I don't become the doctor. I am the doctor.
And freeze me with a cold douche.
What do you expect me to do? Swoon into your arms?
You haven't an atom of feeling in you.
Oh, yes, I have. And someday the right man will bring it out. Oh. Cheer up. You look just like a sulky baby that's been refused its bottle. I think your uncle's right, and you're still a small boy.
Indeed. I shall prove to you someday that I'm grown up.
Oh, I'm not saying that you may not grow up someday, but at present you're just a child.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
You are.
Not.
Oh.
Not.
Oh.
Not.
Please, sir, your rocking horse has arrived.
There.
My rocking horse? What do you mean, my rocking horse?
Well, all I know is there's a rocking horse outside. Shall they bring it in?
No.
Yes, 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 of course bring it in. And if Mr. Paradine's teddy bear is there, bring that too.
Get her free, on my floor. Lucky it's only one floor. One floor, isn't it?
The bill, sir.
Hmm? Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, of course.
It's for Tidmouth. I remember now. Confound him.
Oh, don't abuse the poor man. You owe him a lot.
Indeed?
Yes, indeed. That rocking horse seems to make me all of a sudden feel quite differently towards you. Kindly, sympathetic. I can see you sitting on one of those with your little fat legs dangling down.
Go on, laugh at me.
Well, why not? Don't you like people you can laugh at?
You mean...
Yes. I find I quite like you now. It's the rocking horse that's done it. Look, see, it's rocking between us now.
I'll move it.
Don't you dare do anything of the kind. Don't you see, it's a magic rocking horse. Directly it came into the room, passion flew out the window. You can't be wild and passionate and emotional now, can you? Stroke the little mane, and you'll feel all you can do is laugh. Simply, naturally, freely, like a child. Go on.
Hmm?
Oh, by Jove. You're right.
There you are. We're all children at heart. A rocking horse may not have wings, but one can fly on it. Fly right away into a world which is clean and simple. A world where a man and a woman can be friends. Do you agree?
I think I do.
Splendid. Well, I must be going.
No, don't.
I must. Do you think you're my only patient? Well,
do you treat the others as you've treated me?
Oh, no. I believe in the individualistic method. With you, I have accomplished quite enough for a first visit. You have laughed. Laughed as only children and clean-hearted people laugh. I think I'm a good doctor.
When can I see you again?
We'll think about that later. Meanwhile, here is the prescription. Lead a regular life, go in for sport and the open air, dine early and lightly, and before going to bed, take a 3-mile walk. It'll make you sleep well. Goodbye.
But wait.
Well?
Suppose I can't sleep. Suppose I lie in bed, staring into the darkness, thinking of you, yearning for you, aching for you.
Oh. In that case...
Yes?
Get up and walk another 3 miles. Goodbye.
Sally. Oh, Sally. Oh, well. Oh. Come on, then. Giddy up. Whoop. Oh, shut up.
Oh, sorry, old Tom. I thought you were dead.
What are you doing?
Playing patience, Daddy. Just playing patience.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, right-o.
Do you mean to say you really get any pleasure out of that rotten game?
Yes, darn good game. Did you ever hear the story of the ventriloquist who played patience? He used to annoy his wife by holding long conversations with himself in his sleep. Became such a trial to the poor woman that she had thoughts of getting a divorce. And then, one evening, by the greatest good luck, he caught himself cheating at patience and never spoke to himself again.
A silly idiot.
Oh, harsh words, old man, from host to guest. Well, I must say, it's a nice place you've got here.
Glad you like it. Where's my uncle?
He's out in the corridor practicing putting into a tooth glass.
Oh, thank God. It'll keep him occupied for a while. Squiffy, there's something I want to tell you.
Carry on, old boy.
It's coming!
Tonight,
the neck is coming! I'm getting it. 4 out of my last 7 shots. Straight in the glass.
Yes, well, I think I'll take a shot in a glass.
I fancy I've at last found out what's been wrong with my putting.
Oh, well, happy day.
I say, I think I have at last found out what has been wrong with my putting.
Oh?
I've been gripping too tight. Oh, how right that girl was. Grip firmly but lightly, she said. That's the secret. That's the reason.
Excuse me?
What? Did you see that?
Eh?
That boy. Ever since he got home, he's been like that. Nervous, rude, jumpy, abrupt.
He does appear a bit jumpy, now you mention it.
What do you suppose is the matter with him,
I know. He's not eating enough yeast.
Oh, no. He's in love.
You think so?
Oh, I'm sure of it. Noticed it the day I arrived here. I'd begun to tell him about the long, brassy shot I made at the 16th, and he gave a sort of hollow gasp and walked away.
Walked away?
Walked away in the middle of a sentence. Oh, the boy's in love. Yes, there can be no other explanation. William is pining for that young woman.
What young woman?
Oh, the flashy young person in the sanatorium.
You mean Lottie?
Exactly. We thought the episode was concluded, but evidently the infatuation still persists.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Rather ask, what have I done about it?
All right. What have you done about it?
Have you ever asked yourself what's the secret of the glamour which this young woman exercises over William?
No.
Well, it's due to the fact that he's encountered her so far only in the gaudy atmosphere of hotels and dance halls, her natural setting. Suppose he should see her in the home of his ancestors, where every stick and stone breathes the family traditions beneath the eyes of the family portraits. What then?
Well, I'll bite.
What? She would disgust him. His self-respect would awaken. The scales would fall from his eyes, and his infatuation would wither and decay. Oh, whatever his faults, William is a paradigm.
Well, in that case, it might be a sound scheme to ask her down here for a visit.
Young man, can you keep a secret?
Hmm? I don't know. I've never tried.
Ah, well, let me tell you this, Lord Sidmouth. I have the situation well in hand. Youth may fancy it can control its own destiny, but age, with its riper wisdom, is generally able, should the occasion arise, to lay it a stymie. Excuse me. Must go and putt. Firmly, but lightly. Oh, yes. I fancy I have the situation well in hand.
I say, has he gone?
He's just oozed off. Do you want me to call him back?
Good heavens, no. Squiffy, listen to me. We're pals, aren't we?
Absolutely. Well, bosom is the way I put it.
Very well, then. I want you to do me a great service. You must get my uncle out of the way tonight.
Murder him?
If you like. Anyway, go to his room with him and see that he gets to sleep. Tonight I want to be alone.
Bill, old man, you're being very mysterious this PM. I mean, you shimmer about and dash in and out of rooms and make dark, significant speeches. What's up?
I'll tell you. You forgot to say hist. I've got a very big thing on, and I must not be interrupted. Tonight, Squiffy, I put my fate to the test to win or lose it all, as the poet says.
What poet?
What the devil does it matter what poet?
Well, I've merely asked.
Montrose, if you really want to know.
I don't.
Squiffy, I'm in love.
Good Lord! Uncle was right.
So much in love that I could howl like a dog. I suppose you're going to say what dog?
No.
It's awful. Killing me.
Bill, old man, this is serious news. So your old uncle was actually right.
What do you mean?
Well, I felt all along that something like this would happen. Now, I wanted to warn you at the time. Bill, old man, I came within a toucher of saying, pause before it is too late. And now she's in the sanatorium and you're pining for her. Oh, for the touch of a vanished hand.
What are you talking about?
Well, Lottie, of course.
Lottie? Are you really idiot enough to suppose I'm in love with Lottie? If you had twice as much sense, you'd be half-witted.
Well, who are you in love with, then?
Sally Smith.
The lady doctor?
Yes.
Well, this is all new stuff to me. But if you miss her so much, why did you come down to the country?
I couldn't stay near her either. It was driving me mad.
Why?
Well, she wouldn't let me tell her how much I loved her. Once I went to see her in her office in London, absolutely determined that this time I would ask her to marry me. And before I could even speak, she said, put out your tongue.
What did you do?
Well, I put it out. Coated, she said, and prescribed a mild tonic. Now, how could I have followed that up by asking her to be my wife?
It wasn't what you call a good cue.
So I left cursing everything, myself, my luck and the fate that ever brought us together. And, well, I came down here hoping that I'd get over it. Not a chance. You see, I'm worse than ever. I've tried to dull the pain by reading. I've read every author who ever wrote about love. Shelley, Swinburne, everything in the whole damn language, from Coming to the Garden Moor to Romeo and Juliet. But it was only this afternoon that I finally found a book that really had a helpful idea in it. The Telephone Directory. I'll read you what it said. Yes, here we are. It said, Smith, Dr. S, 61 Alderney Street, SW. Telephone number 7525 Grosvenor. All through the afternoon I stared at that telephone directory, and it stared back at me. At 5 o'clock, I said to myself, why not?
You don't mean...
She's a doctor, I said to myself. If I were ill, she'd fly to my side. At 6 o'clock, I gave in...
Good Lord! Telephone?
Yes! I pretended to be my valet. I said that Mr. Paradine was seriously ill. We were sending the car, and would she come at once?
Well, you certainly don't mind taking a chance.
Not when there's something worth taking a chance for. Now, it's 2 hours' ride in the car. Chauffeur left at 6:30. He should have reached London by 8:30 or 9. She ought to get here just about 11.
No, it's nearly 11 now.
Yes, yeah, so can you wonder I'm, well, a little jumpy. Hello? 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 Yes, I want trunks. Yeah, a London call, Grosvenor, 7525. And put it through as quick as you can, will you? It's urgent. Yes, thanks.
What's the idea?
Well, I want to know if she's left.
Why? Do you think she hasn't?
I don't know. I can't help fearing... No, she must come, she must. And we will stand here, face to face, Alone, all alone in the great, deep, endless night. I shall have it out with her tonight, fairly and squarely. No more dodging, no more evasion. She shan't put me off this time. So now perhaps you understand why you've got to keep my infernal, snooping, blundering, fussing busybody of an uncle out of the way.
That is just a suggestion. Won't he hear her drive up in the car?
Well, Rolls Royce doesn't make any noise. I told the chauffeur not to sound his horn.
Well, you certainly seem to have thought of everything. Well, I'm glad I'm not you.
Why?
Because it is my firm and settled belief, old top, that when she gets here and finds it was all a put-up job, this female is going to cut up rough.
You would call her a female.
Well, she is, isn't she? I mean, that's rather what you might call the idea, I should have thought.
Well, she won't suspect. I shall convince her that I'm a sick man.
Yeah, by the time she's done with you, you probably will be. Hell hath no fury like a woman who's come 80 miles to be made a fool of.
Oh, don't be such a pessimist.
Oh, all right, have it your own way. All I can say is, may the Lord have mercy on your soul.
A very marked and sustained improvement.
Oh, isn't that nice?
are you off to bed, Uncle?
Yes, off to bed now. Yes. Early to bed, early to rise. Nothing like it for keeping the eye clear and the hand steady.
Tidmouth wants to come up with you and have a chat.
Oh, delighted, yes. Tell
him that excellent story of yours about the caddy and the India rubber tea.
Oh, yes, certainly.
You'll roar with laughter.
How jolly.
Well, come along, my boy. You coming, Bill?
No, I think I'll sit up a little longer.
Oh, good night, then. See you in the morning.
Is that a long story, Bill?
Longish, but to help a pal, Squiffy?
All right. We Tidmouths never desert a pal. It is a far, far better thing that I do now than I have ever done. Well, honk, honk.
Honk, honk. Hello? Grosvenor 75... I mean, Grosvenor 7525... Dr. Smith's house. This is Mr. Paradine's valet speaking. Can you tell me if the doctor has left? Oh, just before 9. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. The doctor will probably not be returning tonight. Yeah, very serious. She will have to sit up with the patient. Yes. Good night. Good night. Oh, good Lord. You made me jump. I must have dozed off for a moment.
Weren't you expecting me?
Yes.
Well, here I am.
Yes.
Well, don't stand staring at me as if I were a ghost.
Yes. It's like a dream. You here, in my home. It all seems so strange.
You're right. Strange is the exact adjective. For a man who has brought a doctor a night journey of 80 miles at 50 miles an hour, you look surprisingly well.
Oh, but I'm not. I'm desperately ill. You can't tell how a man is feeling just by looking at him.
I don't intend to. We'll have a thorough examination. What are the symptoms?
Symptoms, did you say?
I did. But if they're too horrible to mention, never mind. I'll soon find out for myself.
Won't you let me help you off with your coat first?
Thanks. There. Hello, you're shivering.
Am I?
Do you feel chilly?
No, hot all over.
Let me feel your pulse.
I think...
110. Very interesting. And yet you haven't a temperature. Oh. A pulse of 110 without a fever, quite remarkable. Do you feel dizzy?
Yes.
Then sit down.
Thanks. Won't you?
Thanks. Now we can get on.
Yes.
What seems to be the trouble?
Trouble? Yes. Look, won't you have something to eat and drink? The drive must have tired you.
Later. Business first. The symptoms, please.
Look, must we talk about my symptoms?
Might I mention that I've driven 80 miles simply in order to talk about them?
But surely there's not such a desperate hurry as all that. I mean, look, can't we have a 5 minutes of conversation?
You're the weirdest patient I've ever attended. You send out an SOS for a doctor, and all you want to do when the doctor comes is to chat.
But you don't seem to understand how tremendously happy it makes me to see you sitting there. See, I can scarcely believe it even now.
Are you really there?
Prod me, if you like.
Oh, no, I know it's really you. Only you could have said that.
And the symptoms?
Oh, hang the symptoms. Why must we begin straight away to talk about my health?
It may seem eccentric to you, but when I get an urgent call to visit an invalid, I find my thoughts sort of straying in the direction of his health. It's a foolish habit we doctors have. Tell me, when did you first notice that there was anything wrong with you?
3 weeks ago.
About the time you first met me?
Yes.
An odd coincidence. What happened?
My heart stood still.
It couldn't.
It did.
Hearts don't stand still.
Mine did. It then had strong palpitations.
Throbbed?
Like a motorcycle.
Go on.
My hands tremble. My head aches. My legs feel like lead. I have floating spots before the eyes and I can't sleep. Dawn comes and finds me still awake. I stare before me hopelessly. Another night has passed, and in the garden outside, the roosters are crowing.
Anything connected with roosters, you'd better tell to a vet. Undress, please.
What? What did you say?
Undress.
Oh, but I can't.
Would you like me to help you?
Hmm? I mean, well, is it necessary?
Quite.
Oh, but Sally...
Doctor?
But doctor, I
notice the vascular motors are still under poor control. Why do you blush?
What do you expect me to do? Cheer? Look here, do you mean to tell me that this is the first time any of your male patients has jibbed at undressing in front of you?
Oh, no. I had a case last week.
Well, I'm glad somebody has a little delicacy besides myself.
It wasn't delicacy. He didn't want me to see that he wore detachable cuffs.
Oh.
Well?
if I must, here goes.
I can't think what you were making such a fuss about, taking off a dressing gown. Your cuffs aren't detachable. Now, take a deep breath, please.
I wonder if you realize what this means to me. To see you here. To feel that we two are alone together at last.
Did you ever have any children's diseases?
Hmm? No. Alone together at last.
Mumps?
No.
Measles?
No.
Oh, I merely asked.
Oh, look, it's too bad. Here am I trying to pour out my soul to you, and you keep interrupting with questions about mumps and measles.
My dear man, I'm not interested in your soul. My job has to do with what the hymn book calls your vile body.
But can't you understand that the mere sight of you sets every nerve in my body tingling? When you came in, I felt like a traveller in the desert who's dying of thirst, and suddenly comes upon an oasis. I felt...
Retching or nausea?
Oh, my God!
Tell me about your sex life.
Look, good heavens, don't you know the meaning of the word reticence?
Of course not. I'm a doctor.
Well, naturally, I've had experiences like other men.
Mm-hmm.
No, I admit it. There have been women in my life.
Say 99.
Oh, not half as many as that.
Say 99, please.
Hmm? Oh, I see. 99.
Thank you. Well, your lungs appear to be all right. Remove the rest of your clothes, please.
What?
You heard.
No, I won't do it.
Just as you like. Then the examination is finished. Tell me, Mr. Paradine, just to satisfy my curiosity, what sort of fool did you think I was?
I beg your pardon?
I'm glad you have the grace to. Did you imagine that this was the first time I'd ever been called out into the country? Well, let me tell you it is not.
Oh.
And do you know what usually happens when I'm called to the country? I see you don't. Or you might have stage-managed the thing a little better. When I am sent for to visit a patient in the country, Mr. Paradine, the road is lined with anxious relatives watching for the car. They help me out and bustle me into the house. They run around like chickens with their heads cut off. And everybody who isn't having hysterics on the stairs is in the kitchen brewing chamomile tea.
Chamomile tea?
People who get ill in the country are always given chamomile tea.
I never knew that before.
You'll learn a lot of things if you stick around with me. And one of them, Mr. Paradine, is that I am not a complete idiot. From the moment I got your telephone call, this thing seemed most suspicious to me. And now my suspicions are confirmed. I arrive here, and what do I find? No one about? Everything hushed and quiet? And when I see my patient, who is obviously trying to look his most interesting and romantic in a silk dressing gown. The first thing he says is, I'm desperately ill, Doctor, but let's forget it and talk of love. Really, Mr. Paradine?
No, honestly.
You'll excuse my slight warmth. I've driven 80 miles on a fool's errand, and somehow I find it a little irritating.
But I tell you, you're wrong.
What? Have you the nerve to pretend that there's anything whatever the matter with you?
Certainly there is. I'm not myself.
I congratulate you.
I'm a very sick man.
And I'm a very angry woman.
Well, if you don't believe me, well, there's nothing more to say.
Oh, isn't there? I'll find plenty more to say. Trust me.
I see. So, you found me out, and you've been amusing yourself at my expense.
You might say getting a little of my own back.
You've had a lot of fun with me, haven't you?
Quite a good deal, since you mention it.
Now, I suppose you're going.
Going? Of course I'm not. I shall sleep here.
Oh.
You don't expect me to drive all night, do you?
I beg your pardon. Yes. this will be your room.
Thank you.
Well, it's something, I suppose, that you've consented to sleep under my roof.
You could hardly have expected me to go to the garage.
But think of me, feeling that you're so near me, only a few feet from me.
That will not disturb my sleep.
I suppose nothing on earth could do that.
I'm sure nothing will, tonight at any rate. I shall not even bother to lock the door. I'm afraid of no one and nothing in the world.
Not even yourself?
Myself, least of all. Good night.
Oh, I'm a sick man. Oh.
Hello, Bill, old man.
What? Oh, it's you.
Well, what's left of me after an hour's tête-à-tête with the old relative?
I say, Bill, that uncle of yours waggles a wicked jawbone.
Who does he?
Yes, he talked and talked and talked, and then he talks some more. Mostly about his mashy shots. Well, I got him off to bye-bye at last, and I've tottered down here to restore the tissues with a spot of alcohol.
Hmm? Oh, yes, help yourself. So, you got him off to sleep?
Yes, at infinite cost to life and limb.
Much obliged. Well, I'll be turning in.
Oh, don't go. I say, is it about time that lady doctor of yours rolled up, allowing 2 hours for the journey, that is, assuming she had no puncture or blowout or breakdown or engine trouble or lost the way or...
Oh, go to blazes.
Not one of our good listeners.
Hello?
Yeah. Oof. Great God of battles. You.
Yes. I got a telegram from Bill's uncle asking me to come.
Good Lord. So that's what the old boy was hinting at. Did he specify that you were to come beetling in at midnight?
Oh, I'm a quick starter. I came directly I got the telegram. When someone sends for me, I don't stop to pick daisies.
Oh? Oh. Well, welcome to the manor and all that sort of rot.
Is Bill expecting me?
No, he's not.
Oh, then I shall come as a surprise.
Eh? Right.
Do you know why Sir Hugo sent for me?
No, I couldn't tell you.
I'm telling you. I thought it all out on the train. Bill has discovered that he can't get on without me.
Well, you...
I knew it would happen. He's pining for me.
Well, you see, the thing is...
It stands to reason he must be pretty crazy about me to make his old uncle wire for me in such a hurry.
Yes, well, full information will no doubt be supplied tomorrow by the aged relative. But if you'll take a pal's advice, you'll biff off at the earliest opportunity.
What?
At the very earliest op.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my sainted aunt. That old boy has made a proper mess of things. Now, look here, old thing. You just tuck yourself away in there till tomorrow morning, and then we'll smuggle you off.
I think you're cuckoo. What do I want to go away for? Bill's in love with me and can't live without me.
Absolutely. Of course. Yes, I mean, beyond a question, indubitably. Only...
Well?
Nothing. Nothing. Now, you just toddle into that room and get your 8 hours, and I'll tote the suitcase. Oh, holy smoke. How did that umbrella get here?
You forgot it when you left me at the sanatorium.
Am I never to get rid of this beastly umbrella as long as I live?
Say, listen.
Hello?
Is anything the matter?
The matter?
You're acting sort of mysterious, it seems to me. And I'm wondering if there's any funny business going on. Are you trying to keep Bill and me apart?
No, no.
Well, you better hadn't, that's all. If I find you're pulling any smooth stuff, I'll murder you. Nothing could be fairer than that, could it?
Absolutely not.
Oh, give me the suitcase. Well, good night then.
Tinkety-tonk.
Oh, you still up?
Yeah.
Why the devil don't you go to bed?
Bill, listen, I've got something to tell you.
No, keep it for the morning.
Yeah, but it's serious. Bill, we have a little visitor.
I know.
Oh, you know? Well, I thought you didn't. But how do you know? She's only just...
Stop babbling and go to bed.
Yes, but the point is...
Shut up.
Yeah, Lottie, you
Oh,
see,
don't talk to me about Lottie.
No, I was merely saying that Lottie...
Stop it.
No, I just wanted to mention that Lottie...
Will you get out?
Oh, all right.
Bungo. And I came down here for a rest cure.
Rest cure? Oh, now. Oh, Sally. Sally. Sally.
Sally.
Sally. What is it? Who's there?
Come out. Come out. I want to talk to you.
Well?
Have you got everything you want?
Yes, thank you. I find that you've given me your room.
Yes.
Where are you going to sleep?
Oh, I shall manage.
Oh, well, it's very kind of you. Was that all you wanted to say?
No.
Well?
Look, don't stand in the doorway. Come out here.
Just as you like. Well, what do you want?
I've been walking about in the garden.
Yes?
Thinking.
Yes?
I'm trying to get a grip on myself.
I hope you were successful.
Please listen to me. In the first place, I admit that I did get you down here by a trick.
A contemptible trick?
Well, that's as it may be. Anyway, you're here, and you've got to listen to me.
Oh, and to make a long story short...
I'll make it short enough. 3 words will be sufficient. I love you.
This is wonderful news.
Oh, that's right, laugh. But let me tell you that no woman has ever made a fool of me.
Who did, then?
Oh, you may sneer, but you know in your heart that you're afraid.
Afraid? I? You flatter yourself.
I may not be your match at fencing, but the bludgeon is quite as handy a weapon as the rapier.
From the insight you've given me into your character tonight, I should have thought that your favourite weapon was the blackjack.
You and I are going to settle things tonight. You've known right from the start that I love you, and from our first meeting you fought me. All right. Tonight shall decide which of us two is the strongest.
Stronger? Didn't they teach you that at school?
Oh.
Even when insulting a woman, always be grammatical.
Stop fooling.
Oh! You're very strong.
I'm glad you're beginning to realise it. Come here.
Oh, let me go.
I won't. Never again. Well, here you are. In my arms. How do you like it? Now try to be aloof and superior. Now try to hold me off with your matter-of-factness.
Oh, you beast.
Beasty stay. I'm improving just now. I'm only a poor fool. Something for you to laugh at. Laugh at me now, if you can.
Oh, well. They always warned me it was dangerous to be a doctor.
Now then.
Do you know the last man who treated me like this was a lunatic in the violent ward of an asylum? But he was more decent than you. He merely wanted to murder me.
All right. All over. You win. I beg your pardon.
Don't mention it. You might as well apologize for having rheumatism.
What?
It wasn't your fault. The thing was purely pathological. But I can see I shall have to cure you.
Only you can do it.
I'll write you a little prescription. Calibromati.
What? For God's sake. What?
1 powder 3 times a day after meals. There you are. Any chemist will make that up for you.
You're very kind.
In addition, there will be hygienic regulation of your mode of living. Avoid excitement and mental strain.
Oh, thank you. That's a great help.
Take plenty of fresh air, do physical jerks every morning, and eat lots of vegetables. Good night.
Sally.
What's the matter?
You stroked my face.
Yes.
Gently.
Yes.
Almost lovingly.
Yes. Don't jump to conclusions. The gesture was purely automatic. We doctors often stroke our patients' faces when they've passed the crisis.
Oh, so you think I have passed the crisis?
I think so. You see, you had the sense to call a good doctor. Good night.
What? You? What? You here?
Knew you love me all the time.
Oh, God, no.
Sally. Sally. Listen to me. Sally. Sally. Please. Please listen to me. It's simple. Sally.
You doing there?
Oh, hello, Uncle. What?
Have you been sleeping in that chair all night?
Yes. Oh, I'm stiff.
But why?
I gave up my room to a lady.
You gave up your room to a lady? But I don't understand. Did a lady arrive last night?
Yes, about 11:30.
Good God. She didn't waste much time. Did you see her?
Of course I saw her.
I mean, you spoke to her. You had a talk, a conversation, an interview with her.
Yes, all three.
And then you sent her off to bed by herself while you remained coldly and austerely out here on a chair. Oh, splendid, splendid.
What are you talking about?
Capital. Oh, excellent. Precisely as I foresaw, you see. When the test came, you found that you were a true paradine after all. I knew it. Directly you saw this woman in the home of your ancestors, beneath the gaze of the family portrait, the scales fell from your eyes, and your infatuation withered and died.
It did not wither.
It did not. It did not wither.
It did not wither.
You say it did not wither?
Oh, damn it, Uncle.
You mean to tell me that even after you'd seen this woman in your ancestral home, you still love her?
More than ever.
Oh, good God.
And I'm not going to rest until I've made her my wife.
But good God, boy, have you reflected?
Yes.
Have you considered?
Yes.
Have you gone off your head?
Yes. No. Well, what do you mean?
You, a paradine, want to marry this woman?
Yes, and I'm going to find her now, and I'm going to tell her so again.
Again?
Yes. This will make the 11th time.
Oh, but William, reflect, consider. Oh, dear. Oh, what an absurd.
Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
You don't seem surprised to see me.
No, I heard that you'd arrived. I've just been talking to William and he's told me the appalling news.
What's that?
He is resolved to marry you.
You mean cake and wedding presents and rice and everything?
Yes.
Well, this opens up a new line of thought. What do you mean by appalling news?
It is appalling.
You think I'm not good enough for him?
Precisely. My dear Miss...
Burke is the name?
My dear Miss Burke, cannot you see for yourself how impossible this match is?
How do you mean it's impossible? If Bill's so crazy about
but
me...
But William is a parody.
What of it?
And you, I mean, what is your family,
If anybody's been telling you I've got a family, it's not true.
Oh, you misunderstand me. But the whole thing is impossible, quite impossible. Oh, I must act. I must act.
Hello.
Oh, it's you. I wanted to see you.
Yes?
To tell you that you leave this house immediately.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, I like your nerve. And who are you, anyway?
I'm Mr. Paradine's doctor.
And I'm Mr. Paradine's medicine.
And as his doctor, I forbid him whatever I think fit. So out you go this morning.
One moment. Just one moment. You evidently haven't heard the news.
What news?
Cast your eye upon the future mistress of the house. From now on, the whole works belongs to me, and what I say goes. Bill's going to marry me.
It's not true.
Oh, isn't it? I just had it straight from the horse's mouth.
It can't be true.
Well, ask his old uncle. He'll tell you. And listen, it's no use your trying to come between us. Love's love, isn't it? And if it isn't, what is it? I know you had an eye on Bill yourself.
I? You're quite mistaken. I wouldn't marry Mr. Paradine if he were the last man in the world. Well, I dislike Mr. Paradine very much. I hate Mr. Paradine. I hate him.
Dr. Smith!
Good morning, Sir Hugo.
Oh, I had no notion you were here.
I was sent for last night. Professionally.
Oh, somebody ill?
Not now.
Are you making a long stay?
No, very short. She's leaving right away. No doubt you would like a car to take you back to London. I believe my future husband has several.
Future husband?
That's what I said. Have you anything to remark?
Oh, no, no. Oh. Has Miss Burke... Has this young lady told you the appalling, interesting news?
She told me that she was going to marry Mr. Paradine, but I can't say I considered that very interesting. If you'll excuse me, I'll go and pack. I have to be in London by 11 for a round.
I say, how careful.
Our hospital round.
Yeah. Now, how in the world could a man knowing a girl like that want to marry a... I forget what I was going to say.
Yes, you forgot just in time. What have you got there?
Money.
Money?
Yes, for you, if you will give my nephew up.
That's it, is it?
Yes. Now tell me, my dear young lady, have you really reflected what marriage to William would be like? My nephew, you must remember, my dear Miss Burke, is a Paradine. He belongs to a very ancient family. I fear the county would resent it bitterly if William should be considered to have married beneath him.
Oh.
Well, I mean, can't you see how unpleasant it would be for you, received by nobody, ignored by all? Your proud, generous spirit would never endure it.
True. So?
Well... Give him up and take this.
You offer me money to give up the man I love? You think that I can be bribed with money to relinquish my life's great happiness? You imagine that I will sell my dreams for money?
Yes.
And you're dead right. How much?
I have £200 here.
And very nice too, just for bus fare. But what's your real offer?
I will write you a cheque for £500.
A measly 500?
1,000.
Make it 2.
Oh, very well, 2.
And I'll have this little lot for starters.
Then that's settled.
Yes.
Oh, what a relief. what a relief.
20, 40, 60.
Hello, 100. Money.
That's right.
Where did you get that from?
The old chap just gave it to me.
Sir Hugo?
Yes. I've given Bill up.
No, really?
Yes. And the thought crossed my mind.
Well?
It just occurred to me as a passing idea.
What?
Well, you and me.
What about us?
Don't you think we'd suit each other?
Now, you know, that's rather an idea. I've had a sort of floating feeling on those lines myself from time to time.
I think I could love a poor fish like you quite a lot.
Awfully nice of you to say so.
After all, what a brain.
Quite.
Oh, look.
Exactly.
Kiss me.
Righto.
Nice.
Fine.
Have another.
Thanks.
How simple these things are.
Aren't they? And some silly asses say that love is complicated.
Oh, there you are.
Yes, here I am.
Morning, Bill.
Shut up. Righto. Do you propose to stay here long?
No, I'm going off to London with my future husband.
You're who? Me. Oh. Oh.
What a fat lot of good that is now.
Bill, I believe you're cross with me.
Cross?
Isn't he cross?
Yes, I think he's cross.
You've only ruined my life, that's all.
Oh, don't say that, old top.
I just met Sally in the garden and she wouldn't look at me.
Who wouldn't?
Breakfast is ready. Lottie, I should be much obliged if you would get yours quick and go.
Well, I must say, you're a jolly fine host.
Oh, get along.
Oh, all right. I'm going.
Well, save the brown egg for me. You're very hard on that poor little girl, Bill.
You show a nasty, domineering, cheeky spirit which I don't like to see.
I'd like to wring her neck. What does she want to come here for? And last night of all nights.
Oh, be fair, old man. She was sent for.
Sent for?
Yes, by the aged relative. He wired to her to come.
My uncle did?
Yes.
Oh, why on earth?
Well, it was like this, you see.
I'd like to wring his neck. Where is he? I'll go and have a heart-to-heart talk with the old fool. What the devil does he mean by it? I'll talk to him.
Where is he? Steady, old man. Be judicious. Exercise discretion. Oh, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice day.
Is it?
Bill was in here a moment ago.
Oh.
Yes. He said he'd seen you.
Would you mind not talking about Mr. Paradis?
Righto.
Lord Titmouth.
On the spot.
That girl. How long has she been here?
Well, she arrived late last night.
What? Is that true?
Absolutely. The old uncle sent for her.
Sir Hugo? Sir Hugo sent for her?
Yes.
But why?
Well, as far as I can follow him, it was something to do with psychology and all that sort of rot.
I don't understand you.
Well, it was this way. I gather that he thought old Bill was pining for her, and he fancied it would cure him if he saw her in the old ancestral home. Old Bill had nothing to do with it. He got the shock of his life when he saw her.
Oh, well, that's a relief. I thought my patient had had a relapse, which, after I had been working on him for 3 weeks, would have been too bad.
I see. So, that's that, isn't it? I mean, now you see all, so to speak. What?
Yes.
And you will marry the poor old blighter and put him out of his misery?
Lord Tidmouth, mind your own business.
I say, you needn't bite a fellow's head off like that. Bill's an excellent chap.
A rich waster.
Handsome.
Mere conventional good looks.
Kind to animals.
Well, I'm not an animal. If ever I fall in love, Lord Tidmouth, it will be with someone who is some use in the world. Mr. Paradine is not my sort. If he had ever done one decent stroke of work in his life...
You're pretty strong on work, aren't you?
It's my gospel. A man who doesn't work is simply an excrescence on the social fabric.
Oh, pardon me while I wince. That one found a chink in the Tidmouth armour.
Oh, you. You know perfectly well, Lord Tidmouth, that you are a mere butterfly.
Pardon me? I may be a butterfly, but I am not mere.
All the same, you're not a bad sort.
Oh, dear lady, your words are music to my ears. Exit rapidly before you change your mind. Turf.
Morning, Sir Hugo. Isn't it just... The old Dr. Smith, have you seen my nephew, William?
He was out in the garden a little while ago. Oh,
well, I'm most anxious to find him. I've something of vital importance to say to him.
Yes?
Yes, I've mercifully succeeded in saving him from making a ghastly blunder and ruining his whole life. By the way, I knew there was something I wanted to ask you. When you putt, which leg do you rest the weight on?
I always putt off the left leg.
Indeed. Now, that's most interesting.
Uncle?
William, I was looking for you.
And I was looking for you. What's all this that Tidmouth tells me?
Tidmouth tells you?
Yes, Tidmouth tells me that you've got some asinine idea that I'm in love with Lottie.
What?
There's only one woman in the world that I love or ever shall love, and that is Sally.
Sally?
I'm Sally.
You love this girl?
Yes.
Oh, my dear boy, my dear young lady, this is the most wonderful news I've ever had. Bless you, bless you. Oh, my dear doctor, take him, I say, and may he be as happy as I should be in his place. I'll leave you naturally, you wish to be alone. Oh, dear me, this is splendid news. William, you've made me a very happy man. What did you say your handicap was?
Six.
Six? Oh, wonderful. What the Paradines need is a golfer like you in the fancy.
I'm afraid Uncle was a little premature.
A little, perhaps.
But don't you think...
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh. You understand that I had nothing to do with Lottie being here last night?
Yes.
And doesn't that make any difference?
No.
Oh. But Sally...
No. I'm afraid you're not my sort of man.
I love you.
Is love everything?
Oh, yes.
No. Respect matters too.
I see. You despise me.
Not despise, but I can't take you seriously.
I see.
I'm sorry.
No. Don't mention it. You'll excuse me now, won't you?
Certainly.
What are you doing?
Well, I thought of doing a little work.
Work?
Oh, yes. Business connected with the estate. I've been neglecting it.
Work?
Let's see. You won't think me rude. I've got rather behindhand. I've been a little worried lately.
Do you mind if I sit here? I won't disturb you.
No, please do. Let me see. One, two, three.
How are you getting on?
All right, thank you.
You don't mind my sitting here?
Not at all.
Just go on as if I were not here.
Very well.
I would hate to feel that I was disturbing you.
That's kind of you.
So I won't say another word.
All right.
What are you working at?
Well, if the information conveys anything to you, I'm writing out an order for some new alpha separators.
Alpha? What?
Separators. They're machines you use to separate the cream from the milk.
How interesting. Why do you want alpha separators?
Oh, because I happen to own a dairy farm.
You do? Tell me more.
More what?
More about your dairy farm.
Why? Does it interest you?
Tremendously. An alpha separator. It sounds awfully complicated.
Well, not so very. It's based on centrifugal force.
Yes.
Here's a diagram. You see, that thing there is the reservoir.
I see.
And below it is the regulator with a floating valve.
Well, go on.
And as soon as the regulator is full, the float valve shuts off the influx.
How frightfully clever of it.
Yes. Shall I tell you something?
Do.
That machine can separate 2,724 quarts of milk in an hour.
2,000?
724.
It's the most wonderful thing I ever heard.
I thought you'd be pleased.
Oh, I am. And what's that little thing of me?
That is the Holstein butter churner.
The Holstein butter churner? Oh.
Is anything the matter?
No. Go on talking.
What about milk?
Yes, I never knew it could be so exciting. Do you get your milk from contented cows?
Well, they haven't complained to me. You see that thing? That's the steriliser.
The steriliser?
Yes, and that's the boiler there. At 70 degrees centigrade, the obligatory and optional bacteria are destroyed.
Do you mean to say you are familiar with the bacteria of milk?
I am.
But this is wonderful. The cavillus acidi lactici.
The bacillus lactis acidi.
The bacterium coli.
The bacillus erogenus.
The proteus vulgaris.
The streptococci.
The colossiridium butyricum.
The bacillus butyricus. The bacillus nervinus. And the penicillium glaucum.
Great heavens.
What's the matter?
It can't be possible.
What?
That you actually do know something about something after all. You really do work. Decent, honest, respectable work.
Yes, I do. And from now on, I'm going to do it harder than ever. Oh, don't you imagine, just because you've turned me down, that I'm going to sit moaning and fussing over my broken heart. I'm going to work. I'm not going to think about you anymore.
That's the stuff.
I shall forget you.
Fine.
Completely.
Splendid.
Put you right out of my mind forever.
Magnificent.
And as soon as you left this house, I shall order new tractors.
Yes, do.
New harrows.
Bravo.
And fertilizers. What? Who can that be? Hello? This is Mr. Paradine. But the doctor? Yes. You're wanted.
Oh, thank you. Hello? Yes, speaking. Now? Quite impossible, I'm afraid. You might try Dr. Borstal. He substitutes for me. I can't possibly leave here now. The case I'm attending is very serious. Much more serious than I thought. Goodbye.
Sally!
One moment.
What are you looking for?
My thermometer.
Hmm?
Oh, here we are.
Are you feverish?
That's just what I want to find out.
Sally.
Go on.
I love you. I love you. I can't help saying it. I love you. I love you. And today it seems to me as though my real life were beginning. Starting from today, I shall ride each morning through the fields. A clean, fresh wind will blow in my face. The good smell of the earth, animals, benzene and crude oil. Benzene and crude oil, Sally. The machines get underway. A flywheel spin. Summer is here, Sally. Summer is here. The fields gleam like gold. The sun sparkles. Harvest time. Ripe wheat. Do you understand, Sally? Ripe wheat shining in the summer sun.
I have no fever.
But you're trembling.
I know. And my pulse is 110.
Like mine.
And yet I have no fever. And do you know?
What?
I've lost control of my vascular motors.
Sally.
One moment. I am faced with the most difficult diagnosis of my whole career.
Sally.
Wait. I ascertain the following. The organs are intact. I have no pain, no fever. But the pulse is 110. The reflexes are heightened. On the periphery of the skin, I notice a strong radiation of warmth. A slight twitching in the nape of the neck. The hands tremble. The heart action's quickened. Every symptom points to something serious. Something very serious indeed.
What?
Acute love.
Sally!
Do you remember what I said to you that day we met? If ever I found a man I could love, I would tell him so as frankly as if I was saying good morning. Good morning, Bill.
That was Good Morning, Bill, by P.G. Woodhouse, with Martin Jarvis as Bill and Alexandra Bastido as Sally Smith, M.D. Lord Tidmouth was played by Jeremy Child, Lottie by Judy Buxton, and Sir Hugo by David Garth. Natasha Pyme as Marie, and Trevor Nichols the page boy. Good Morning, Bill was directed by David Johnston.
That production of Good Morning, Bill can be heard again on Monday afternoon at 3:02. In our classic serial, Kidnapped and Katrina, at 9 o'clock tomorrow evening, David encounters the Duke of Argyll.
James Stuart, if you had been successful in the rebellion in the year of 45, you might have been giving the law. Where you have now received the judgment of it, we, for this day are your judges, might have been tried before one of your mock courts, and then you might have been satiated with the blood of any name or clan to which you had an aversion.
This was to let the cat out of the bag indeed. James of the Glens was as fairly murdered as though the Duke of Argyll had got hold of a fowling piece and stalked him.
Dark days for the Stuart clan in Scotland, in episode 8 of our classic serial Kidnapped and Katrina, tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock. And now here's the weather forecast for the United Kingdom for Sunday. Western parts of England and Wales will start off the day cloudy with rain, some of it quite heavy at times. This dull and wet weather will then spread to other parts of England and Wales, probably reaching the more eastern counties during the afternoon. It'll be quite windy around western coasts. Later in the day, it'll become drier and brighter in the southwest with a few showers. Scotland and Northern Ireland will have further showers both overnight and during tomorrow. Some of the showers will be heavy and in places may combine to give a longer spell of rain. It'll be on the cool side again. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday. Unsettled with showers or longer periods of rain. And that's the weather forecast. This is Radio 4. ¶¶
BBC News at 10 o'clock. This is Clive Roslin. A leading critic of the South African government, Dr. Alan Busack, was arrested while he was praying shortly before the funeral of a black youth near Cape Town. Later, he was released on bail. There was serious rioting in Londonderry for a time this afternoon. Scotland Yard are investigating what appears to have been an arson attack on a house at Leighton in East London, occupied by Pakistanis. Divers have recovered the bodies of five men from a car in Leith Docks in Edinburgh. The football season has started, with Everton winning the FA Charity Shield at Wembley. One of South Africa's leading anti-apartheid campaigners, Dr. Alan Busack, was arrested together with 18 other people when they attempted to attend the funeral near Cape Town of a black youth killed in the current unrest. Dr. Busack, who is also the president of the World Alliance of Reformed Churches, was released on bail. After the funeral, eight people were injured in a grenade attack. However, there have been no further reports of violence around Durban, where it's said 57 people have now died in the past 5 days. We're going over now to Mike Waldridge in Durban.
Dr. Busack and a number of other priests were stopped at a police roadblock as they tried to enter Guguleti Township and told that their presence at the funeral would be undesirable as it would be likely to cause unrest. They refused to leave and, according to Dr. Busack, were arrested as they knelt in prayer. While they were waiting to appear in a specially convened court, there was trouble in Guguletu. The police say the crowd refused to disperse after the funeral, and when they made a baton charge, a hand grenade was thrown. One policeman was seriously hurt, and five other policemen, a television sound recordist and a black man, received lesser injuries. Dr. Busack told me that while he regretted the hand grenade attack, he felt it proved the point that he tried to make to the security forces, that their presence in the township, while a funeral was taking place, was much more provocative than his own. The authorities have been attempting to prevent the funerals of victims of the disturbances from turning into political rallies. Tomorrow sees another funeral that could become a focus of opposition to the government, that of the civil rights lawyer, Mrs. Victoria Mkengi, who was murdered in a black township near Durban. It's said to be Mrs. Mkengi's death that sparked off the violence in the black and Indian residential areas around Durban. This is Mike Waldridge in Durban.
The South African Foreign Minister, Mr. Piet Botha, has said that some members of his government believe that the jailed African nationalist leader, Mr. Nelson Mandela, ought to be set free. Speaking on his return from talks in Vienna with senior American officials, Mr. Botha said the question was how Mr. Mandela would be released. He recently turned down an offer of freedom if he renounced violence. Mr. Botha said that, in effect, Mr. Mandela was jailing himself. Police in Zimbabwe have seized the passports of the opposition leader, Mr. Joshua Nkomo, and his wife, and have arrested two MPs belonging to Mr. Nkomo's ZAPU party. One of the MPs arrested is Mr. Nkomo's brother, Stephen. More than 20 other senior party officials have already been taken into custody. Mr. Nkomo has said that the Prime Minister, Mr. Mugabe, is trying to discredit the opposition so he can ban them and create a one-party state. Serious rioting erupted in Londonderry late this afternoon. Several hundred youths began throwing petrol bombs and stones at troops and police in the Bogside area of the city. Soldiers responded by firing plastic bullets. The worst of the violence, lasting about an hour, was in contrast to the annual parade of the Protestant Apprentice Boys movement elsewhere in the city, which passed off peacefully. Our Irish Affairs correspondent, David Capper, has been following the day's events.
Tension had been high in Londonderry throughout the week, and the police were worried about possible violent clashes between rival groups. But although some 15,000 loyalists paraded through a Protestant part of the city for their annual demonstration, the day for them passed off peacefully. But in the Bogside, a crowd of several hundred youths gathered and began throwing petrol bombs and other missiles at the security forces. Soldiers in riot gear went into action during the afternoon, firing plastic bullets as they ran into the scattering crowd. But the youths regrouped once the soldiers had withdrawn and the violence resumed. At one time, a car used by a BBC television crew was hijacked and it was later retrieved somewhat battered. No one was hurt. Police vehicles also came under a ferocious hail of missiles when they drove close to the 9-story high Rossville flats. People inside threw down, amongst other things,